British scientists have for the first time been given permission by the fertility regulator to genetically modify human embryos. The research at the Francis Crick Institute in London will aim to provide a deeper understanding of the earliest moments of human life. But it's controversial, of course. Our health reporter, James Gallagher, is here. And what are the scientists hoping to find out, James?
Well, I suppose at its most profound level, it's what makes a healthy baby? Why are some women infertile? Why do some people miscarry? Now, if we look around this studio, we're all the success stories of life, really. We're billions of specialised cells that you know, are living and functioning here. But if we rewind time, go back to that time when we're invisible to the naked eye, smaller than a speck of dust, a single cell, just newly fertilised. In those first 7 days then, what's happening? What's going on? What allows it to develop properly? So what the scientists are looking to do is look at the genes, the parts of our DNA, the instructions of life that are involved in those first moments of life.
So what does the technique itself actually involve?
Well, this is a really exciting piece of science. It's one of the few things that I can think of that's been named Breakthrough of the Year on multiple years. It's revolutionising science from agriculture to medicine. And what you need to think of it is a little bit like a pair of scissors and a sat-nav. So what it does is it's a sat-nav that looks for a very specific part of your genetic code. Imagine having a huge encyclopedia and going to one specific page and one volume and then changing one letter in that thing. That's what this technology is about. And then the scissors that I was talking about, they're the things that make the cut that allow you to edit that one letter in your genetic code.
Very clearly explained. Thank you very much indeed. But as I was saying, this is an idea which has certainly provoked debate. Let's talk about that now. Professor Robin Lovell-Badge is a senior group leader at the Francis Crick Institute. It was one of his colleagues who made the application to the fertility watchdog. Dr. Trevor Stammers is the programme director in bioethics at St Mary's University in London. So, Professor Lovell-Badge, first of all, presumably you're pleased by this decision.
I'm very pleased, clearly for my colleague, Kathy, who can now get on and do the, soon will be able to do the experiments that she wants to do, which I think are very important and potentially very interesting. But also because this, of course, is the first time this type of the application to do this type of work has gone through a proper regulatory body, national regulatory body.
Well, Dr. Stammers, you're quite sceptical, aren't you, about the efforts to genetically modify human embryos? Just explain to us why.
Well, I think that, first of all, we've seen much hype of things like animal-human hybrids and three-parent IVF and so on being promoted as surefire answers to lots of medical problems. And so far, none of these have led anywhere. And animal-human hybrids are in the news in 2008 and still got nowhere. And I'm concerned that already we're having a lot of hype about this. I mean, your correspondents already referred to the potential help this may be in infertility. Much infertility has nothing to do with things that CRISPR can correct, this gene editing can correct in an embryo. Most of the embryos that die and cause a miscarriage have chromosomal abnormalities. And I'm sure Professor Lovell-Badge would agree that gene editing has no place to, no part to play in correcting those.
Well,
and other miscarriages are due to factors in the woman.
Let's get a response
in the mother.
From Professor Lovell-Badge about that.
It's quite clear that, yes, from what we know from IVF, a lot of embryos do have chromosomal abnormalities, and that's certainly one of the reasons why IVF is inefficient and miscarriages happens. But there are many other cases, many, many other cases that there's no explanation for it.
And unexplained infertility is going to be corrected by gene editing?
No,
I would think
no.
Not. In most cases, we have no idea what causes
we've not,
it, do we?
No one has said that these techniques are going to be used directly.
Your colleague has implied it would revolutionise infertility. Are you saying that that's incorrect?
No, it's the understanding gained from using these methods on early human embryos to understand what are the roles of specific genes and pathways of genes in making the early decisions about how you get cells. Some cells are going to give the embryo proper. Some cells are going to give the embryonic tissues are going to go on to make the placenta, for example. It's better understanding of that, which will then allow you to develop better culture methods for growing your IVF embryos in, which are currently designed on conditions designed for growing mouse embryos. It'll be better understanding of how you make those early decisions. to improve methods. You don't need to use the gene editing methods to cure the problem of infertility, but it could benefit it.
And Dr. Summers, there are also objections, aren't there, from people on religious grounds?
Well, I think that certainly those people who follow the Abrahamic faiths will have great concerns about essentially using embryos from so-called discarded embryos from IVF for experimentation in this way, because Professor Lovell Badge and myself were once embryos. But it's not just a religious objection. There are many, many people across the world who think that Britain is being very, very hasty in entering into this arena. And it's only been attempted so far in China, and all of the embryos died. And I think we need much, much more debate about the greater ethical issues related to this, not least of consent.
Of course, there needs to be a lot of debate. And you know, I'm involved in several efforts to get a lot more public debate about this whole issue, and you know that. But you're wrong in some of what you just said. Of course, we came from early embryos, but we didn't come from embryos that were left over and going to be discarded. We came from natural fertilization processes. Certainly, I did. I guess you did. It's very different to say let's use this embryo, which is otherwise just going to be destroyed.
And parents have given their consent for this
research.
Absolutely,
they're going to be given. They have to have given their consent, otherwise the work can't go ahead.
Okay.
But
well,
the children that may be formed have not given their consent, and their children also will need to be monitored if this ever proves successful. So it's not just the consent of the parents. I'm glad that is fully informed on there.
Okay. Well, you both said you wanted a debate. I hope we've started that at any rate. Dr. Stammers, Professor Lovell Badge, thank you both.